Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Lock and Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of LockerDashReport.com. And thank you guys for joining in. You can always reach out to me directly on any one of my social handles, on Twitter at Locker_Report, on Instagram, the LockReport 100, all small caps, on Facebook, LockReport.com. Or you can always simply shoot me an email directly at Barry Barnes at locker-report.com. Well, today we have a great show. I'm really fired up for today's show, not only just because the NFL divisional playoffs start, but this show is all about letting you guys know about NFL starts of tomorrow, today. Players that came through the NFL regional combine, who you're not familiar with, but within a couple of years or two, with them being in the league, these guys will become household names, very talented players. And that's what this show is all predicated about. And we probably get into the divisional round matchups this weekend in regards to the players that came through the platform. But this morning, we're going to have on one of my favorite players that came through the NFL combine process, who I'm a huge fan of, tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, Mr. Matt Lingo. Matt, how you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm doing great. It's so good to hear your voice again. It's an honor to see how well you're doing in the NFL now with the Indianapolis Colts. That understanding your journey and how you got here, man, is truly amazing. And everyone under the sound of our voice is one that will definitely find out, because you're definitely one of those stars that everyone will definitely find out about soon.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and it's good to hear you again. And, you know, it's one of those things I still remember. You know, you were the first person I ever kind of ran into outside of, you know, my inner circle that, you know, showed any kind of belief in me, you know, any kind of positivity about it. And, you know, as a guy going through the journey, you know, kind of the way I have, it's always great to run into people like you who spread that positivity to guys that, you know, like me, who are underdogs. And so I appreciate you, and I thank you for that.
Oh, man, it's truly an honor. Trust me. It's funny you had brought that up, because you're definitely actually the first player that came through the process that really showed my purpose in all this. And when we was on the airplane, we was actually going to the Super Regional. When I had walked past you on the plane, I said, I wonder if that's Matt. I didn't recognize, because you did have the, you know, your hoodie. And I believe that that was Lauren that was with you, now your wife. You know, tell her I said hi,
yeah,
by the way.
Oh, yeah, but, I'll let her know.
And when
she
had got up.
And
you...
I'll let her know.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you got out your seat, and you came over to me, and you said those kind words that you said. And then after the workouts that year, that's when someone from the NFL front office told me that there are teams in the league that look at, you know, who I promote and who I talk about. And you came to my mind when you had approached me. I said, well, you know, it's more than just reporting, you know, to be able to support, you know, the underdogs, NFL hopefuls. It really showed my purpose in this whole thing. So I thank you for approaching me, expressing those kind of words like you did on air today, which meant a lot, and it really turned my whole entire process as far as my career-wise on how I'm approached this platform. So, like how you thank me, I thank you, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you, man. And it is crazy, you know, that the, you know, once I've been in now for like 5 years, and, you know, that was like 4 or 5 years ago or 6 years ago. I mean, that was a while ago and by now, but it was, you know, now being in for a little while, you kind of see, you know, a lot of players and a lot of, you know, the NFL is so few players, and there are a lot of great players. I mean, I'm sure in the AAF and the XFL, you know, or and guys that aren't even on teams are really good football players that deserve to be on a team. But there's just so many guys to go through, and I do think your platform, you know, allows, you know, coaches or, you know, scouts or GMs or all these guys to at least get another look at another guy that they maybe never heard of. So somehow never heard of. I do think, you know, you just keep doing what you're doing, and it's going to help out a lot of guys like myself.
Man, thanks, Mike. It's definitely a truly honor, man. And speaking of which, with you in the NFL, how is it being an Indianapolis Colt?
It was good. It's been good so far. You know, I was kind of the end of last season. I tore my ACL and I was rehabbing. And then, you know, I'm thankful that the Colts picked me up. I forget what week it was. It was about like week 10 or something this past season, and I was there. And then they had their kicker issues with Vinatieri, and I got released after about a week and a half. But after the season, they did re-sign me, and you know, I'm excited to get back to work and start, you know, the season from the ground up again, you know, just to be able to go in day one of OTAs and, you know, have that opportunity to learn and get chemistry. You know, I was with Jacoby Brissett in New England, so I'm familiar with him, but it's just a different offense, different lingo. And, you know, to really be able to, you know, hopefully build something, you know, some kind of chemistry and, you know, just start from the ground up is invaluable. Instead of going in week 10 trying to, you know, find your way.
Right. I mean, speaking with Indianapolis Colts tight end Matt Lingo on a Lock of Talk with Barry Bonds, a host on Lock of Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. Just being with the Colts and being guys like Eric Ebron and then Jack Doyle and even with Tyler Alford when you was with the Cincinnati Bengals, what were some of the things that you had learned from those, you know, those veterans in the league that you can actually implement into your game?
Yes. I think one of the guys I've been, you know, the most impressed with that I've been around, and I told him this to his face, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, and, you know, I just like the way that he approaches every day, was Jack Doyle. You know, and I've been around, and not to take anything away from any other great tight end in the NFL, but, you know, I thought Jack was just the consummate professional. I mean, he is, you know, attacks every day. You know, I think for him too, it's a cool story because he is an Indianapolis guy. He's from Indianapolis originally.
Right.
And his whole family's there. And you can really tell that he puts his heart and soul into every practice, into every rep, into every game. And, you know, unfortunately when I was there, you know, we lost to the Tennessee Titans and a guy in the locker room that was, you know, visibly upset about losing and really wanted to win the game. And you could tell he was drained. He put everything into it, was Jack Doyle. I mean, he's the first one in, the last one out kind of guy, and does all the extra stuff before and after practice. And I was just really, really impressed with him because he just approached it like that was his work day. You know, it wasn't anything extra he was doing. He was just doing what he knew he needed to do. And I always respect guys like that. And you know, that's kind of stuff that I like to take into my day, you know, just kind of trying to follow in his footsteps. You know, what is he doing that I think I can do better? And, you know, whether it's, you know, catching balls off the jugs machine after practice of, you know, 500 reps or whatever he does. But, you know, the details in every day is kind of what I tried to take from him. And as far as gameplay, you know, there's some guys, you know, I wish I could run like Tyler Eifert. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I could do certain things that certain guys, but some guys are just gifted with it. And, you know, it's really impressive. I think he's a guy I've been really impressed with.
Wow, that's awesome. And for you to tell him that, I know that he definitely take that as a humble, I would say a humble feeling coming from a teammate and someone recognizing him and his skill set, because although he's one of those players that's up and coming to lead to be able to get that appreciation early. That means a lot. And soon someone is going to say that to you. And speaking of you, I would say that when I think about perseverance, and when I think about parent, I'm thinking about patience. And when I think about carrots, you're one of the people that actually jumped right in my mind because when you was at Eastern Kentucky, you did sustain ACL injuries when you were there. And
yeah.
during that time, if you could take us back while you were in college and you had sustained those injuries, were there any doubts in your mind that you probably would not get an opportunity to play in the NFL?
I think I recall, yeah, doubting a little bit, just kind of never knowing because you can't predict the future necessarily. But I think that was honestly, you know, and I'm thankful. You know, I'm a man of faith, and, you know, after I got hurt, you know, the first thing I did was, you know, thank God for the opportunity, you know, thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, and you know, even after sustaining those injuries, I don't know why it was something that it, like, just came out of my mouth. You know, I'm thankful for everything I still have. And, you know, I took all my energy and I put it into school and I put it into my, you know, relationship with my now wife, and just, like, being a, you know, better friend and better guy in the weight room and better student. And my grades were actually better, you know, when I was hurt than, you know, when I was not hurt. So, but I think I'm thankful that I had that mindset. And I feel like if that was my goal, then I was going to do everything I know I needed to do in order to get there. So it was just kind of, you know, wake up every day and, okay, this is what I need to do in order to go to the NFL. So I have to get that accomplished today. And I just kind of did that every day. And it, you know, just that old saying, put your nose to the grindstone. And I, then years later, you know, I tore it twice in my 6 years at EK, or my 5 years at EKU. But then I had, you know, that 1 year, my freshman year at another school. And when I looked up and it was like, wow, I on draft day, you know, in 2015, I ended up getting signed. So it was just kind of wild how everything did work out. But I don't necessarily recall there being any doubt as far as, you know, if I could get there. It was just I couldn't predict the future, and I was going to do everything I could every day in order to get there. So,
wow, that's awesome. I remember before the workout, I normally would research the players before they took the field just to get a sense of their background. And when I recognized that you had those injuries when you were in college, you definitely was one of those players that jumped out. I said, I'm definitely going to, you know, look out, you know, for this guy to see how he's going to bounce back. And your workout was stellar. I mean, you know, over the middle, you know, very athletic. You had explosiveness, you know, in your broad jump, the way how you did your individual drill, and how you attacked the workouts like they were game day. So that was really impressive. And for me, off the back, I said, okay, this guy is a solid, hands down, no question, NFL player. And then I would say that with your when you went through the regional combine, how much do you believe that helped you get to the level where you are now?
I really do, actually. And it's I feel like that really did help. You know, because the Baltimore and, I, and in particular, I feel like it was the Baltimore regional that really helped me, because from then, that super regional in Arizona, there was like, I think there were like six tight ends. I don't know if you recall that year, but there, I think there were like five or six tight ends that ended up being at the super regional. And, and like four of us were from Baltimore, the Baltimore regional. And I do feel like even a few of us just from the Baltimore regional got an opportunity in the NFL. And, you know, it's that old, like, it only takes one. So, you know, I don't know what eyes were on me or, you know, what was going on or, but I do feel like it was, you know, a great opportunity for me to just get in front of more scouts, especially the Arizona regional, kind of the super regional, kind of blew me away at how many, I mean, like Chip Kelly was there when he was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I didn't expect that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, you come walking in and I wasn't expecting all that. So it was a, you know, the NFL combine's little brother, and, you know, I was really appreciative for that. And it was funny because after that regional combine in Baltimore, they were like, all right, well, we'll call you by this date. And for me, that date came and went. And it wasn't until like 5 days after that date. And I was driving down to Kentucky from Pennsylvania, where I lived at the time with my parents. And I was driving to Eastern Kentucky for my pro day. And I got the call from the lady that was like, Matt, congratulations. We want to invite you to the Super Regional. And I was like, what? Like, he told me the deadline was 5 days ago. What are you talking about? So it was another little bittersweet moment for me because that moment finally came, but it was 5 days after they told me it would.
Right. That was funny because that workout was really huge because Joe Callahan, who's a quarterback for Wesley that came to Division III, he's now with the Detroit Lions, and Denzel Good, offensive lineman, he's with the Oakland Raiders. Mm-hmm. So that class, that trial that you was in, actually turned out to be one of the better ones that actually, you know, guys currently still in the league and some other players that actually were in the league. So that was a big workout in 2015. So it was great that you had pointed that out. And when you had signed with the Bengals, I remember jumping up. I was going crazy inside the house. So, like, he signed, he's in, he made, I was excited, you know, for the whole thing.
I appreciate
it. You know, it was awesome. So when you got the Cincinnati and you got that opportunity, you know, what was one of the things that you did to celebrate, you know, to I know that you gave glory to God, and I give glory to God for all you guys. But when you got, you know, when you signed with the Bengals and you played, you know, you were with them for that first year, what were some of the things you did to celebrate your success?
I'm sure my wife and I, you know, something that a lot of NFL players do, but as I went on vacation, I can't remember what vacation we went on. I mean, we probably went to Florida at the time or something like that after my first season. But, you know, just something to blow off the steam of an NFL season. And on draft day, I wasn't expecting to get drafted by any means, but my brother, who lives in Seattle, did fly in to be with me on draft day. So I have a picture. I'm sitting in my office right now, and I have that picture sitting right here. My brother flew in, and he gave me a big hug, and his girlfriend at the time is the one that actually took the picture. So now I have that. I didn't know she took the picture, but so now we have that picture, and we all hung out and just kind of it was nice to have my brother in because I don't get to see him much because he, like I said, he lives in Seattle, but that was a cool moment. And then I'm sure after the season, my wife and I probably went to Florida or something like that.
Well, that was cool. I know it's definitely well reserved, and I know that you and Lauren is not going to stop traveling, so that's a good thing. Now, this is the change pace here. You're one of the 71 players that had caught a touchdown pass for Tom Brady, and we're talking with Indianapolis Colts tight end Matt Lingle on a Lock and Talk with host Barry Bonds on the Bass News Radio Network. To be a part of the 71 guys that caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady, you know, how is it to be a part of that history, and how was it playing alongside the GOAT?
Oh, man. I mean, it's still a surreal thing to even think about. You know, obviously, you grew up watching Tom Brady, and I think the weirdest, it becomes pretty special when I go back and, like, see on NFL Network, you know, like the first time Tom Brady comes jogging out onto the field after Drew Bledsoe got hurt. And it's like, man, you know, like then you watch the Super Bowl where Adam Vinatieri kicked it, the first one where they beat the Rams, I believe. And then, you know, then like watching those old clips where I was just a kid and I still remember watching those. I think that's where it becomes really special and kind of understand, you know, what it really means. And, you know, it is something cool. And I still have that ball. And, you know, I was gracious that, you know, I asked him if he could sign it for me, and he did. And he's a very nice, humble, I mean, you know, in the facility, he's absolutely a pleasure. And he's a really nice guy, really. And, you know, it was being around him, you know, in that practice, it's just, you know, without going too much into, you know, who, you know, all that kind of like personal stuff, like his love for the game is childlike. You know, that's what I thought was really impressive to me, is that every day he went to practice, you could tell his love for the game was still, you know, on a childlike level in a good way. You know, meaning just that it is a true love that he has to play football. And I think that really permeates throughout the team, you know, as far as Julian Edelman and the young guys coming in and just that shared passion that they all have for the game of football is really impressive. And I really think that starts on the player level with Tom. And that was the cool thing to get to see is just his work ethic day in and day out, and how, you know, he's this superstar of superstars, and, you know, you walk by him in the hallway and he just, "Hey Matt, how you doing?" "Hey, I'm freaking great, Tom. How are you?" You know, like, he's very quiet and peaceful and happy man. And, you know, that was just a, you know, cool thing to experience.
Wow, that's awesome. Tom Brady is my favorite quarterback. And the producer of the show, L.A., he probably cut me off after this week because he is still a fan.
Oh, God.
You know, so
yeah,
I'm probably still going to beat me up about that, but it's all right. He'll let me live. You know,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
Speaking of that same year, Super Bowl 51, a historical Super Bowl with that awesome comeback. You were on the field. I mean, you participated in 19 snaps in that game, 10 on the offense, and you was out there giving some good blocks during that comeback. You know, to be on the field for that Super Bowl, being a part of that history, what's other than the victory and getting the Super Bowl ring, what is something that happened on that field that you can take that will last with you forever?
I think it's you talk to other players that have played in Super Bowls, and I have, and it's funny because they talk about how the colors, like when you run out of the tunnel for the first time, just the colors seem way more vivid. The lights are brighter. It just feels hotter in the stadium. Like it is a different experience than any other football game I've ever played in. To look over, I mean, and to go from a regular season game and running out of the tunnel, you know, there's a lot of people there, and the sidelines are, you know, there's a bunch of people on the sidelines, you know, the camera crews, the cheerleaders, the, you know, maybe some guests of family or fans pregame or something like that. And then you go, for us, we went to the divisional round, we had a bye week, and then we went to the divisional round. And you run out in the field, and there's a little bit more people on the sidelines. And then you go to the AFC Championship, and there's a few more people, you know, celebrities and stuff like that. But when it comes to the Super Bowl, I mean, it is – I remember during our pregame, like, you know, throughout that whole week, I mean, you have to do press for like an hour a day or some kind of rule or something like that. And we're just sitting in this one room, and I was getting interviewed by like NFL Japan. And like me, like I'm like the second string tight end, you know, and not a high rep guy, you know, in games, you know, like compared to a guy like Julian, who I think almost had 100 snaps that game. But I mean, I was getting interviewed by NFL Japan, and then to run out of the tunnel for the Super Bowl, I mean, it was, you could see all the setups of all the TV crews and the talk show hosts talking, and all their lights are bright and the colors are more vivid, and it's just a very, very intense atmosphere. I mean, it was really cool. So now every game after that I've played, I've been far less, you know, it wasn't that I was intimidated either. Like I was very calm because I knew it was the last game of the season no matter what, so I might as well just go give it everything I had. And I was actually very calm. But now every game after that, it's just, you know, way more fun now because there's less pressure, I guess, to me. Because it'll really never get as big as what the Super Bowl was.
Right, absolutely. I can only imagine, you know, being able to experience that. And I know it definitely was a breathtaking moment. And I know that, you know, I'm glad someone like you is able to experience, you know, something on that magnitude during your lifetime. So I was definitely at the edge of my seat, you know, in that game, just watching everything you do in the field, and like I always do. And next year with the Colts, it'll be the same way. And speaking of next season, you're going to be a part of a deep offense. What are some of the things that you do on the field and off the field to help keep yourself prepared mentally and physically?
I feel like I just try to take care of everything I know I need to do in order to be successful. I think that's a simple answer. But I try to really, even in the off season, like right now, you know, I'll leave to go train, you know, with a trainer, and it's a little early to start doing that. You know, the season's not even over. But having kind of missed a good part of last year, you know, I kind of want to just make sure I stay tuned up, you know, for whenever that time comes, and, you know, stay in the best physical shape I can. And really, I just have a simple, like, just saying I work hard, you know, I don't think is enough. I just say I try to take care of everything I know I need to do in order to get better. You know, whether that be, you know, understanding the right time to cut out alcohol in my diet, and, you know, just the mm-hmm. proper things in the way to diet, you know, when I want to work out, how I want to work out, and preparing for a game. I mean, you know, it's just taking care of the details, I guess. You know, it's just a very – I feel like when you become a professional, and I think that's one thing I've taken from other guys, is that, you know, I've seen how other guys take care of business and how they are, and, you know, what kind of professional they are, and you kind of learn, especially from superstar, you know, the superstar guys. I mean, even like AJ Green when I was with the Bengals, and, you know, Rob Gronkowski, and, you know, watching these guys prepare, and you try to take little things from each guy that you see and that you like and that you think will work, and it's just kind of a guess and check until you find the, you know, right thing for you.
Right. That's one of those things that you will find out during the process, what works for you,
yeah.
will help keep you competitive, and how to keep you stronger and mentally focused when you get on the field. So I definitely understand that it's definitely certain things that going through the process that you find out. Talking with tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, Matt Lingle, on Lock and Talk. We host Barry Bonds from the Best of News Radio Network. One last question. This is that you go be with Lauren and the rest of your family. After going through, if you was in front of some NFL hopefuls right now that's ready to go into the NFL Regional Combine process this season, what would be the advice that you would give to those players as they embark on their journey in hopes of getting to the NFL?
I think first and foremost, I would say have fun, you know. Don't take it too seriously to the point of, you know, crippling yourself mentally, kind of, and, you know, your mental mindset. You know, there's a guy, I won't rat him out, but he was a very superstar athlete and player, and having a candid conversation with him, and he said, you know, I used to get so nervous before games, I didn't even want to go out there. And this is a guy who's a superstar. He's like, I used to get so
wow.
nervous, I didn't even want to go out there, and I would just like, I would just convince myself I didn't like football, I didn't want to play football, I don't want to do this, why am I doing this? And he said he finally just, once he got over that anxiety, and he said that I just finally had to realize that this is fun, that what we do is special, that it's don't make it bigger than what it really is. You're just playing the same, you know, we have the benefit of the football field's been the same size since I've been in second grade playing football. You know, it's not, oh my gosh, it's a bigger field. Oh my gosh, it's a bigger field. You know, it's the same mm-hmm. field. It's the same thing we've been doing. The guys are just a little better, but so are you. And that's when he told me that, it kind of changed everything, you know, to make it more of a, you know, this is just really fun what we get to do. And if he's getting nervous, then everybody else is nervous. So don't worry about it. And I would say just make sure you don't get distracted. Stay true to yourself and just wake up and do everything you know you need to do that day in order to get better and achieve your goal. And it will happen. So,
wow, that's
some
solid advice. Hey, look, I get nervous sometimes. I get nervous sometimes talking on the phone. I was definitely nervous talking to you this morning.
Oh, I was a little nervous, man. We all get nervous. Yeah.
Absolutely.
My dad always said growing up, my dad was a police officer, and he was on SWAT. He was on the SWAT team for like 17, 18 years. And he always told me, courage is putting fear aside and getting the job done. So it's not that the fear isn't there. It's just you got to put it aside and get your job done.
Right, absolutely. I chalk it up as, you know, also respect. with that, you know, with that being said. And you definitely want to, you know, the many guys coming through, probably on the higher side of the guys who I definitely respect and admire, you know, especially from a distance. I enjoy covering your career. I remember telling you before you got to the league that I will enjoy covering your career, and I'm doing that now. And to see that you're successful in the league, that you're still pounding, still working, you're still being kicking butt out there, catching touchdowns, every opportunity that you get. I just want to say to you, Matt, man, continue your success. I wish you the best on and off the field. I look forward to seeing what you do with Indianapolis next season. Look forward to seeing your names in light. And the whole point is that I really believe that you will be, you know, that you're treading that level to be a star in the NFL. And it's a pleasure and honor that you came on the show. Hopefully you don't be a stranger. Keep kicking butt out there, man. I still believe in you, and you're going to do some great, great things in this league.
Well, I appreciate that, man. This is my pleasure and honor to come on here. And I'm so thankful for, you know, everything you've done for me and the positive, you know, comments and the positive energy and all that stuff that you've put out there for me, man. And, you know, I'm really thankful. I wish you all the best, too. And God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, man, you stay blessed. God bless you as well. Lauren, tell Lauren, say hello. You know, continue, you know, keep giving, putting God first and always giving up his praises. We have
I will, man.
Tight end for the – oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I just said I will, man. You too.
You got it, brother. I'll talk to you soon. That was tight end, Matt. You got it, my friend. Have a good one. Have a good offseason, too, and get ready for next year.
All right, you too.
you got it, sir. Yeah, a tight end for the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Lingo joined the show today. One of the favorite players that came through the platform, and I'm looking for nothing but great stuff from Matt as he moved forward. Next week, please tune in to Locker Talk with host Barry Barnes on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you'll find out about NFL stars of tomorrow today. We may have another host, I may have another guest next week, or if not, we definitely want to talk about the title game moving forward towards the Super Bowl. Everyone stay safe. Everyone be blessed. And have yourself a great, great weekend. And enjoy this football. I'm definitely will be. Have a great one now. Bye-bye.
Can you tell us about your daily show, Gossip on the Go with Flo?
It consists. I'm on a little better than 20 radio stations around the country. I'm syndicated by Super Radio, and it consists of 3 stories every day. And I write a radio feed, and then I record a show every single day, Monday through Friday, and send it out. And I'm live on 4 stations.
That's a lot of work,
yeah.
Flo.
I know it's a lot of work. I'm busy over here. It's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. And how long has that show been on?
Since 1996.
Wow. That's a testimony within itself.
I've hung in there through the test of time.
Yeah, because I know you were on WDKX Radio 103.9 up in Rochester, New York.
I'm on there every single morning on the Wake Up Club.
You're on the Wake Up Club with this guy, with Tariq and them.
Uh-huh, with Tariq and DJ Rain, yeah. Psych, yep.
That's
right. Now, you have any hot news you want to share with us?
Well, today, stories I did 50 Cent. He's dating this girl. Her Instagram handle, and I had the story up, but I had the feed up, but I was, I can find it here. I was working on tomorrow's feed, But I give you, I have to look at this because I can't remember everything I write all day. But he took this girl to the Power premiere. Today's December 4th, right?
Yep.
Let me scroll down to December 4th so I can tell you her Instagram handle and then her real name. She's actually an aspiring attorney and personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Her Instagram handle is Cuban Link, but her real name is Jamira Haynes. But they just recently, nobody knew too much about her, but they just recently, Thanksgiving weekend, they some pictures of them got released on her Instagram, and they were in an exotic location by a pool. There were a lot of palm trees around.
Mm.
And then I did another couple story about Winnie Harlow and Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton. They were at the British Fashion Awards the other night, and, you know, Janet Jackson presented Rihanna with an award there.
Oh, wow. Oh,
okay. And yeah, and the last one was NeNe Leakes was down in Florida at this drag queen spot, and these people thought she was this drag queen named Tiffany Fantasia. but then they found out it was NeNe, they weren't mad either. Everybody wanted a selfie. So
those are
the three stories I did today.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. So you enjoy that? You enjoy the daily?
Oh, I love my radio show. I love it so much.
Mm.
What is your opinion of the Formula One driver? He's very internationally known, but here in the States, he's relatively unknown here in the U.S. But he's big time overseas, and
Big time overseas, he's hot. He dates all the hot women. I mean,
yeah.
See, at one time he was dating Nicole Scherzinger. I think he might have even dated Rihanna at one
he
point.
He did.
He was all over the place.
That's when I first heard of him, when he was dating Rihanna, and I looked him up. And gosh, this guy has been doing his thing over there. Do you think he'll ever be popular here in the States?
Well, I think as he dates more American women, that you know, people get to know. It's my business to know everybody, so I followed him for years.
Right.
And this whole thing with him and Winnie Harlow is not anything new. They were first spotted together 3 years ago in 2016, but he denied then that they were dating. Then they were seen again in 2017, then again in 2018, and then Monday night. So obviously something happening over there.
Right.
You know?
I guess he could get away with denying it overseas, I guess, but not, yeah.
Yeah, but no, you just, you know, 4 years later, you're still hanging out together. I think something's happening. Get it together, Lewis. Get it together.
Yes, indeed. Because he keeps winning on the Formula One circuit.
Yeah, he's some kind of a race car driver. And you know the thing with 50, you know, I mean, 50 gets on my nerves because he gets up in the morning and figures out who he's going to mess with that day. Mm. I mean, it is his job every day to make somebody miserable, in my opinion. But he seems to like, I hope he's nice to this sister because, please, he is a terror.
Wow.
Did you cover his relationship with Vivica Fox?
Yeah, I covered it. You know, that's my main girl, Viv. I covered it.
Okay.
In fact, I did a story last year in the Daily News about she had him in the book, and he tweeted out he had to wake up this morning to he used expletives. It's not story. Oh, 50-50-50.
That's something else.
Now, if I was to ask you, Flo, your top three entertainment interviews over your great career, who would you say and why?
They're going to surprise you. The first one is Sylvester Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, a young junior flip. And he talked about the challenges of life. I think it's when he did that soccer movie. I got a chance to interview him. I can't think of the name of it. With L.A. This was a long time ago, back in the late 70s, maybe early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he talked about how everything in life was a challenge. And so I went home to Michigan and I had the tape and showed it to my mother. My mother said, you know, you really need to listen to what that man is saying to you. And so that's always stuck in my mind. after that, you know, anytime you get to talk to Michael Jackson, it's got to be Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Any interview with him has always been great. And I had the opportunity to take Inside Edition on the set of, what is the song?
Thriller?
No. It was a song. Spike directed the video.
Scream?
No, I was at the Scream video too, but Spike didn't direct that. It's on the tip of my tongue. You Don't Really Care About Us.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. And that, you know, he gave me that opportunity. He said, whatever they pay you, just keep it. You know, you negotiate with him. So he gave me that type of opportunity and that kind of entree. And yes, I also was on the set of Scream with he and Janet. And I'm just trying to think of this third one that, I don't know, I've loved them all a lot. That I think, I don't know, maybe any time I talk to Spike, because he always has revelations and is highly intelligent.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you were one of the few people that knew about Michael's love triangle with Debbie Rowe and Lisa Marie Presley, right?
I was there.
Tell us about that.
I went to London with Michael, and he flew Debbie out of there, and then the next day flew Lisa Marie in there. I was there.
Oh, okay.
I saw that with my own two beagle eyes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that play out in the media and everything?
Well, you know, I don't know how it played out in the media. We all did, but I don't think they went as crazy about it. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it that he was macking like that. It was just unbelievable to me.
Yeah. It.
Because he said, you know, he played such a nice guy.
Right.
Yeah, right. He's more like, he's probably most like his father. They think it's Jermaine, but it's really him.
Mm-hmm.
Really was him.
Mm. Now, he's been mischaractered tremendously over the years, you know, especially before his transition. Why do people hate on celebrities and athletes the way that they do, but then at one point you're cheering for them, and then they turn on them in such a way over innuendo?
Well,
and
I think with MJ, what people didn't, you know, people didn't understand when his skin color changed, which is when he died and that autopsy report came out that said he had vitiligo. I was so happy.
Right.
That it said that, because he did have vitiligo, and he had the wherewithal and the resources to go ahead and change his skin. You can't get it, you know, back brown.
Mm-hmm.
He had the resources to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And people thought he was just doing it because he wanted to look white, but he truly had vitiligo.
Right.
I mean, you look at a Winnie Harlow, she does very well with that vitiligo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm. Now, who are your top three sports interviews?
Oh, God, that's a loaded question because all my friends are athletes.
Mm.
I got to say Michael Spinks. I have to put him number one.
Right.
But I've talked to everybody. I mean, I can't give a top three of sports interviews.
Mm.
I guess you would have to say Ali because he was the greatest. Boy, I've talked to so many people. I mean, I have to even put Bill Cosby in top interviews. I used to talk to him for hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He used to just sometimes call me. You know, Wynton Marcellus used to sometimes just call me. You know, and we're still very close. I can't give you a top three of athletes.
Well, why don't I rephrase
I've just
it?
I've talked to so many people.
I know that you're so fond of Michael Spinks. What type of person is Michael Spinks, and do you think he'll ever get his true credit in what they did for boxing, especially that 1976 Olympic class?
Olympic team,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Michael Spinks, you know, is my favorite person in the world, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person, and you know, he's very quiet. He's very well spoken. He's very kind. He's just terrific.
Mm.
I can't say enough about how wonderful he is.
Mm. And he's your favorite sports interview, obviously.
Yeah, I talk to him every day, though, several times a day. Mm-hmm. But back I think I first met him about 83.
Mm.
And so it was always, a very good interview.
I wanted to tell you something, too, about O.J. Simpson. Did you know Mr. Wilson, when he was living, since O.J. left the Buffalo Bills, he would not allow number 32 to be issued to any player. And he never formally retired it, but he would not allow 32 was not worn in the city of Buffalo on the Buffalo Bills team since 1977.
And it shouldn't be, because
right.
Nobody was as great as
right.
He is. Did, and OJ's always been a good interview, too. I can't say he was a better interview than the other person was in the interview, because, I've liked them all, and I've interviewed everybody.
And
there's very few people that I have not interviewed. The only person that I wanted to interview, I never interviewed, was Jackie Onassis.
Oh, wow. Oh,
okay.
I'm just saying, everybody else I've pretty much,
Did you come close to interviewing her?
Not really, because she didn't too much give them, but I've been in her presence.
Mm.
Okay.
What I wanted to tell you, Flo, was that the head coach
and
now
I'd like to interview Meghan Markle. I'd like to do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, what I wanted to tell you was that head coach Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, he issued number 32 this year after 40 years to a backup player, Cenarius Perry, and special
teams.
That's
terrible.
That's what I wrote an article about it, had a petition out, but, these people do whatever they want to these days, and they issued number 32 to basically a backup player for the Buffalo Bills, which I think is absolutely terrible.
Awful. Yeah.
Yeah, because
I agree.
It just shows you, unfortunately, the ignorance of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to ask you also, Flo, how do you see the New York print media? You've been to Daily News, New York Post. How do you see the print media, and how do you basically see how it's viewed today in this modern age?
Well, the New York Post is still real popular. The Daily News online, of course, sells much better than the Daily News print. And a part of that is because where the Daily News is now part of a conglomerate.
Mm.
Trunk bought it, and they own LA Times, Chicago Sun-Times, Sacramento Bee, quite a few papers around the Miami Herald. And so that's part of the problem there. I think they even print in Chicago.
Mm.
They don't print in New York anymore. People are not picking up newspapers and buying them as they once did. They're buying them online, and that's not a good thing, because you still get more inside of the print newspaper than you get online.
Mm.
You certainly do, and I notice a lot of people now, you're seeing people say they see it online, but they're really not reading the paper. They may read one article or
one article, then you're not reading. There you go. Yeah. So you're missing a lot.
Yeah.
When you don't actually pick up the newspaper.
Mm. Do you think that will ever change back, or do you see?
I'm hoping it will, because now kids need glasses more because they're on devices and online.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that people will start to pick up books and to pick up magazines and to pick up newspapers.
Mm.
Yeah, I actually working in the newspaper industry, starting to see people, younger people, starting to look at newspapers a little more than in the past, because on those phones. And remember those Kindles was out for a little while? People just weren't able to read the information, to garner the information.
No, I agree with you. You get much more in the regular newspaper and magazines, And then you can easier go back and reference things, too.
Exactly.
Now, Flo, you also like horse racing. How did you get into that?
I always liked horses, but my father couldn't afford one, so I didn't have a horse. But I've always been fascinated with them. And then I started going to the Kentucky Derby, because one of the characters in my book is Vance Dumas, who's a black jockey.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, his horse, Wilding Out, ages out of being able to compete because, you know, those are 2-year-olds. And so then he gets an all-black polo team.
Mm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, I wanted to ask you, too, who was Rona Barrett?
She was the first real gossip columnist. When I was a kid coming up, she was on TV, and I'm going to tell you a story. She had Rona Barrett. She's on TV. She had the magazine, Rona Barrett's Hollywood, little blonde lady. Mm-hmm. And she was who originally was doing all those interviews. Like one time I was a kid, her and she was interviewing Cher, and they were in the bed, and they had on these fabulous peignoirs. And she was the one doing all those celebrity interviews, and then ABC took it away from her and gave it to Barbara Walters.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, that's what happened?
Yeah, and I'm sure she's totally retired by now, but she, you know, her latter life, she sold real estate out there in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And when I was a little kid, they used to call me the Black Rona Barrett. My
right,
grandma
right.
Jean did.
Mm. Now, you also worked with Joan Rivers?
Yes. She's like was like my aunt. I was I started my TV career on the Joan Rivers Show.
Mm.
And was on there for the duration. I think she ran 3 or 4 seasons.
Hmm. Wow. It is a remarkable and outstanding career. You are one of my favorite people.
You guys are too much.
I'm always posting our picture on Facebook from that was.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was at the Miami Super Bowl.
Yeah, thank you so much. Were you in Atlanta last year?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I was right on Radio
okay.
World.
You didn't take a picture?
No, I didn't see you.
Oh, I was in the media center a lot.
I was right on Radio Row, but I was working.
Oh, you know what? I didn't go over to Radio Row, though. I was mainly, I hang out in the lounge because, you know, I can really kind of do my work in there.
Right. Well, you're going to have to come by Radio Row this mm-hmm. year. George and I will be there. We're going to be streaming on multiple media.
But I was over there sometime because, you know, they had a lot of stuff in the middle
right.
of everything.
Right. Yeah.
Were you there when they brought in Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was over
well,
there
yeah,
with the Old Spice booth. We
yes,
were.
I was right there.
Yeah, we were to the right of the Old Spice booth towards the middle section there.
And over there where they had that little mini golf thing, I kept trying
right.
to win
yeah.
stuff. I wasn't winning.
Yeah, me
but
either.
I couldn't
win that golf thing either. I tried that.
We
one.
Weren't far from the Fox booth either. Fox Sports was over to the left.
Okay, because you had to walk past Radio Row to get in and out of there.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were there.
Oh.
I was rocking
right,
and rolling. I interviewed Les Brown that day, George
oh,
and myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of good interviews that day, but we'll be streaming. From Miami the whole week, so you're going to have to make sure that you come by and spend some time with us.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Now, when is your novel coming out?
You know what? I don't have a date. I'm hoping Christmas 2020.
Mm.
It's okay. Because it's a Christmas novel, so probably like September 2020.
Now, do you sit down and just take notes when you get an inspiration or write?
No, that book just kind of, and this one's not rocking and rolling out of me the way the others did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's taking it. And then I'm also very busy, you know, a lot busier now than I was before. So it'll get done, though.
You know, I had another question for you, too. I know you went to Howard University. Did you play
yes.
any role in journalism at Howard?
No, I didn't. I was at that time. I was attempting to. I took a break from being a writer and was attempting to be an actress. I was in the School of Fine Arts.
Gotcha.
So I really didn't work for the Hilltop or anything like that.
Oh, okay. Now, what year were you at Howard?
You don't need to know.
Now, I was asking because you know my dad taught there.
Who? I know your father.
No, I don't know if you know him. He taught there from 66 to 70.
Oh, no, I didn't get down with
that
early.
So.
No, I came after that.
Okay, because we were down there for a funeral. Dr. Leon Butler had passed. His funeral was there. And while we were there, we went by my father's old laboratory area in Thurkill Hall. And somebody had known my father, and they ended up giving my mother, who's now... I won't say her age, but she's proud mm-hmm. of being up there. They gave her a posthumous award for my father when we were there.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was very touching. And you know, the hills mm-hmm. there, we kind of had to wait, you know, because we didn't want my mother climbing up all those hills in that area. So
yeah, those, you know what, I was at homecoming 2 years ago. It was my sorority's anniversary. And so they have that tailgate down, and I was up and down that hill. I was like, you know, I was in the College of Fine Arts. I didn't walk up and down this daggone hill 40 years ago, so why am I up and down this hill all day?
Right, right. Howard is very hilly. That's some hills.
I'm like,
there.
This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So what are your plans? We're down our last 3 minutes. Do you have any plans this week that you can talk to us about that you're working on?
When I finish with you guys, I got to write tomorrow's radio feed. And then Michael Sinks will be here Friday. He's giving out toys, the Friars Club on Saturday. So that's kind of my weekend. And then next week, I have a very busy week. I have a bunch of Christmas stuff. Mm. You know, things almost every day I have some holiday activities.
Are you going to watch the fight Saturday?
Now that's Caressa Shields fight.
No, that's the rematch with Anthony Joshua.
Oh, Anthony Joshua and Ruiz.
Right.
From Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Saturday night.
Right. Yeah. Sometime Saturday.
If it was Friday night, I guess Mike would go somewhere and try to see it. But I'll be at my house. He'd be back in Wilmington. I don't think I'm gonna get it on Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday during the day we're giving out toys and stuff, so I doubt that. We got things to do.
Okay.
But I don't know who you think's gonna win, Anthony Joshua.
I think so.
Then is he and Deontay will finally fight?
They need to.
Yeah, they really need to.
Yeah,
you know,
this is ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. They don't make the fights when these guys are in their prime. Like, you know, it used to be,
and that's the problem with boxing today. They don't seem to have the
match. But the heavyweight division has picked up, you know, because we've been, you know, they've been flying Mike out as a, you know, heavyweight legend.
Mm.
So, you know, it's picked up in the last couple of years.
Oh, that's good.
It truly has, in my opinion.
Mm.
Yes, and you see it's starting to make that comeback, and hopefully you'll get some more fights back on regular TV and be able to garner the up-and-coming fighters.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Because it's boxing is coming back. You know, the UFC had kind of pushed it asunder, but it's coming back.
Well, I want you to do us a favor, Miss Anthony. Please tell Michael Spinks that we respect and honor his career. He's one of the finest fighters I have ever seen. He was a class act.
Greatest light heavyweight ever.
No question about it. Great, great fights. Great, great fights.
Yes.
And
he is
you
not
are
a bad heavyweight. So.
Yep. And you're one of my favorite people. You have to promise me you have to stop by and see us at the Super Bowl. We'll be there.
I will certainly do that. I will not forget.
Please don't. I mean, it's a great pleasure.
And I love Miami, so.
Yes, indeed. Wonderful place to have a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
It is. And I, you know where else I used to like the Super Bowl? New Orleans.
New
course,
Orleans.
But it's changed so much.
Right.
Because I used to think the owners should all just chip in and have it in New Orleans every year.
Absolutely.
But San Diego wasn't a bad place for the Super Bowl either. The weather was beautiful. The city was beautiful. It was very nice.
Yes, it was. The stadium was awful, but
that's why they're not in the
exactly. Paul Tagliabue said that. He said, we're not coming back here unless you get another stadium.
Super Bowl is no team.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But it was a pleasure having you on. I hope you come back. I know you're very busy. I appreciate you taking time with us.
Oh, you can have me back anytime. I love to run my mouth.
Oh, we'd love to have you.
I'll be in trouble with NABJ. I'll be in trouble with the Me Too movement. I'm just going to be in trouble.
All right. Take care of yourself.
All right, have a wonderful, wonderful
holiday.
Take care. You too.
Thank you for tuning in to Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba and George Radney. We will be back here next week, right here on Pro Talk.
man died of a big disease with a little name. By chance his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there are 70-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby because she couldn't afford to feed it. It was sending people to the moon. In September, my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing hard. It's June. Falls and a bomb falls. Will anybody see the dawn? Time.